Well, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning for our service of worship. It's my privilege this morning to be able to share the word, and we're sharing from Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, and I will allude to verse 13 just to get a little bit of the context as we move along. But I want to start by asking a question. How would you like to go to Mars? Well, perhaps you've played that engine-building board game, very, very popular game called Terraforming Mars. I actually haven't had the privilege of playing the game, but I know some individuals who have, and it has caught my eye on the Board Game Geek website from time to time, and I'd love to pick it up and play it sometime. But perhaps you've played that hit game, and you've just done so well at it that you've convinced yourself that you have what it takes to be part of a team that will establish a colony on Mars. Well, when Mars One opened applications in 2013, they were flooded with applications, resumes of every sort, podcasts and video resumes of people from all over the world describing in detail how they would be the best candidate and choice to help establish a colony on Mars. Well, Taylor Rose, one such applicant, said this in his video entry. Just to be able to turn around and see the Earth, that's a lifelong total dream. Well, who knows? Elon Musk and the crew at SpaceX, maybe they will make it to Mars in my lifetime. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I won't be on board that ship, but maybe they will. Maybe having your feet planted right here on Earth is all you need to get your fill of the red planet. Well, good news for you. This month, actually, October, Mars will be the brightest that it will be for the following 15 years. Mars is going to light up the night sky like it hasn't in quite some time. You know, it's really going to stand out this month. It's going to shine in the darkness. Well, Jesus actually refers to believers in this similar fashion, calling his followers to be the light of the world and to shine brightly for him. He says this in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. He says, "You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and hides it. Instead, they put it on a stand for everyone in the house to see. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2, he says that we will shine when we live in and through the presence of God working in our lives, his will and his way for our good, for his good pleasure, excuse me. We read this in verse 13. But then we get to verse 14 and further on down through to verse 18. You know, when we lose sight of that, when we lose sight of shining is finding and receiving that presence of God that will work in and through his will and his work through us. When we lose sight of that, well, we will be tempted to grumble and to argue. Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 2. Well, with COVID, with the economy, with the current political climate we see in many parts of the world, and in particular here in North America, there is more than enough for all of us to lose focus on what matters most. Our world is becoming more and more polarized, and cancel culture seems to be at an all-time high. Grumbling and arguing are just rampant. We see it when we change the channels of the television. We see it when we load certain social media apps. We used to hear it in the coffee shops, but now we have a strong dose of it everywhere, as it seems, online. You know, grumbling and arguing will not advance your best life in any way. Now, Paul here is concerned about how you will use the influence that God has entrusted to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been called and created to lead others toward Jesus. That is our mission. That is the mission of the kingdom of God. Here at Kanata Baptist, we share, we grow, and we serve. We share Jesus. We grow deeper in our knowledge and our relationship with Him. And we serve others in and through the name of Jesus. That is our mission. You know, having that kind of influence on individuals can take a lifetime to achieve and be lost in a single moment. I think we see this especially on social media. Simply put, believers ought to be the best, the very best, on social media. But unfortunately, many times when it counts, we are just the worst. Tim Keller, a well-known influential pastor from New York City, said it very well recently in a podcast with a Canadian pastor, referring to the current political climate we see and experience. He said this. He said, you know, God is not a Democrat or a Republican. God is not a liberal or a conservative. God doesn't belong to the Labour Party or a coalition. He's God. As a ministry leader, I'm called to lead all people, even the people with whom I disagree. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. You know, that even includes voting, whenever that may be in your current context. Kerry Newhoff, a pastor of Connexus Church in Barrie, Ontario, puts it this way. He says, we have people who vote in every direction at our church, which I think means we're just simply being the church. You know, there's another way that the people of God grumbled and complained. We see this in the story and the narrative of God's people in the wilderness in the book of Exodus. And I think that it would be good for us to be mindful of this and to watch for this as well. They reminisced about the good old days. Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, we read, this is what they said to Moses and Aaron. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death. Would it be nice to go back to the good old days? Well, one can reminisce about that, and one can say, yes. Let me ask a little bit more maybe specific question that maybe hits a little closer to our home. Would it be great to go back to merch? Would it be great to go back to well before merch? You know, pots of meat and buffet sounds great, but ultimately it's for God to will and to work that out. And those are the things that he will work out in his own time and in his own way. You know, getting back to those Israelites, and as they lived in and through the wilderness experience, and we read that they grumbled and they argued through that experience. What do we read in that text? Well, over and over again, consistently, daily, God provided for all of their needs. He clothed them. He fed them. He protected them. And he saw them through everything that they experienced. Not only that, we read that when they reached their destination, that their clothes never wore out and their shoes seemed like they stayed the way they were when they entered the wilderness. It was God's hand and his providence to them. You know, God did that for them in their wilderness experience. And God will do that for us. And he is doing that for us as well. And we can claim these words of Scripture. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We can look around and wonder, who is in control? And if we do that, if we lose sight of ultimately who is in control, we may be tempted to grumble, to complain, and to argue. Or we can choose to look to Jesus, and we can choose to hold on to the word of life. And the Apostle Paul says that in this passage in Philippians. He says, hold on to the word of life. When we do, our influence becomes one of shining in a dark world. James puts it this way in his book in the New Testament. James says this in verse 2, the book of James. He says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. The testing of your faith produces perseverance, which will mature and complete you so that you will lack nothing. Consider it pure joy. Has the Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus been asking you to consider things differently? Maybe even today, while you've been listening to this message and you've experienced and engaged in worship with us today, is God asking you to consider things differently? It's a tough thing to do. To be honest, at times in my life, I struggle to do the very thing that James says we need to do. And I get so focused on COVID and politics and economy and health that I forget the words of James where he says, You know, and all of the things that you face and all of the trials that will come into your life, have you ever thought of looking at them in a different way? Could you consider it pure joy to go through these things with Jesus? Have you ever considered, instead of being right and putting something on your social media that you're later going to regret, have you ever considered laying down the keyboard and praying for the individual that you want to prove wrong? Have you ever considered praying that God would bless that individual? And not blessing them with your intellect or your intelligence. Instead of being so focused on COVID and how COVID has changed your life and has altered the things that you really wanted to do, could you consider it a joyful experience to enter into someone else's life and help them achieve things that maybe they weren't able to achieve on their own because of COVID? Consider praying for your children's teachers. Consider praying and asking God to bless. Our first responders, our nurses and our doctors, our police officers, our firefighters, our paramedics. And praying and asking God to direct the hand and to give wisdom to those who lead us municipally, provincially, and federally. You see, you don't have to go to Mars to see the Earth shining. Consider it joy to follow Jesus and do just that. Shine brightly for Him in a dark and depraved world. Consider it joy to leave the grumbling and the arguing behind and to hold on to Jesus for life. I pray that we'll have opportunities to do that, even in this year and this moment and this day. God bless you. Shine for Him. Amen.